the validation of the stop-and-go strategy for colorectal cancer, which leads to the concept of a strategic approach to therapy in the palliative setting colorectal cancer overall. Because we have to abandon the idea of putting patients on one drug, 5-FU, and keeping patients on this drug until they progress or develop toxicity. So I think right now with the fact that patients live much longer, we have a multitude of options, including biologics and conventional chemotherapies, we have to plan our therapies better. And overall, I think what we have to do is a goal-oriented approach according to what our goal of therapy is overall. And we've talked about this many times before, and I think it has to be reiterated in every educational session that we can cure some patient with colorectal cancer, limited metastatic spread. And for the majority of patients that are on a palliative track, we have to design treatment strategies that take into account duration of survival and quality of life. One of the key messages from ASCO that you can give patients a break of chemotherapy, from chemotherapy, have chemotherapy-free intervals without harming their overall outcome. Admittedly, all the trials we have seen have two problems. First of all the trials were on the level of phase 2 data set, meaning not large, multiple 100 patient trials. Secondly, all the trials we've seen so far following the stop-and-go intermittent therapy concept did not include biologics, so that we still don't know how to completely integrate this in our current practice, where we do use bevacizumab and cetuximab as standard components of our treatment. But it does validate the strategic approach to therapy, which I like to see in palliative therapy of colorectal cancer.
Can you talk a little bit about the specific data sets that were presented at ASCO?
I think the most important trial in this regard was the Optimox 2 trial, which was based on prior trial conducted in France, the Optimox 1 trial. And Optimox 1 was a phase 3 trial comparing FOLFOX4 until patients either progressed or developed toxicities versus a stop-and-go regimen with stop-and-go related to oxaliplatin use, meaning patients were treated with limited duration of FOLFOX, oxaliplatin-based therapy, then continued on a maintenance therapy or a reduced toxicity therapy with just 5-FU, and oxaliplatin was supposed to be reintroduced at a planned interval. Optimox 2 went one step further and introduced a complete chemotherapy-free interval, comparing it to this maintenance therapy approach. So one arm of the trial looked at a stop-and-go regimen, again, intermittent oxaliplatin use with continued chemotherapy in between with just 5-FU, and the Optimox 2 arm looked at a chemotherapy-free interval, meaning giving patients a complete break until they progress. The problem with this trial for our current practice, beyond the fact that they did not use bevacizumab, was this trial design allowed tumors to grow back to their initial size, meaning patients that had a response to FOLFOX-based therapy and FOLFOX was discontinued after 3 months of therapy were then followed and tumors were allowed to progress back to their initial presentation. I think would be a quite hard sell to patients. And I would see the patient would like to see the metastasis grow back, let's say, from 2 centimeters back to 10 centimeters in the liver and not doing anything, because our impetus is more to react since we do have active agents. So within these limitations, and based on the fact that only 200 patients were randomized in this trial, there was no significant difference in duration of disease control defined by the study. We don't have any data on overall survival yet, and we don't have data on quality of life of patients. But at least it didn't seem that it harmed patients to withhold therapy for some time. And again, it does not address the issue how to incorporate biologic agents, and I think this is one of the downsides of all these trials that we've seen.